Our study and our focus will be in Jude. You have your Bible, go to Jude. And we're going to draw out from verses 3 and 4. Before we do that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our blessings, for the great grace that you give us every day. We thank you that we as Christians can assemble together to study your holy word, to take these things to heart, Father. Father, help us every day to be in service toward others, demonstrating your great love. Father, we ask your blessings upon us now as Christians to strengthen us. Help us to be disciplined. Help us to contend for the faith and to stand up for the truth and not to compromise it. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we go to Jude, I've got some things to think about here. The title of this message is Contending for the Faith. So are you a disciplined person? Would you say that about yourself? You might say at certain parts of your life you're disciplined. You get up every morning, you get things together. You know, maybe you're someone who always eats right, or maybe it's exercise, or maybe it's your trade or your work or whatever it is, that you're disciplined in it and you do it well. And I think it's strange how some things that we are very disciplined at and others that we are not. We can be very disciplined and committed to one thing and then another thing we are not. And I think we see a lot of individuals today are very committed to their work and what they do and things that go on in their life or to their family, but then they're not committed many times to keeping God's commandments, or not all of them. And Hebrews talks about this. Hebrews chapter 10 gives a warning, verse 25, not to forsake the assembly of yourselves. And there he says, as is the habit or the custom of some, that they have made it that way. So how is it that we can be so disciplined in one part of our life and yet not in our spiritual life and not with God? You know, those are questions that come to my mind. We're living in a period of time right now that's called the Great De-Churching. For the last 20 years, churches have been in decline. People have been in a great exodus. There's been a number of reasons behind that. And some of that is not just because people are leaving those churches. It's some of it is that they don't have time anymore or see the expediency of a Bible class, midweek Bible class during the week. So that has declined. And then Sunday night has declined. And Bible study on Sunday morning has declined. And then it's gotten to the point where those who used to come every Sunday come once or twice a Sunday, or some that used to come once or twice a Sunday now come once or twice a year. And these are what the statistics are showing. So what makes us disciplined? What is behind that? Why is it that some things we can be so focused and so committed on that we can get up and we can work, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week in all commitment, but then we can't pick up our Bible and read it, or that we're not praying the way that we should? And those are things that come to my mind. And I want us to think about that and what is behind that. So what the statistics have shown is that the reason that people are not as faithful as they used to be is a lot of people just don't see the point in it. They don't see the purpose in it. They don't see that they're getting anything out of it. I hear that a lot. You know, they feel that way. And I can understand why someone might feel that way. I feel that way about certain things, so I give up on it and I quit doing it. Other things that come to mind is the process. How am I going to do it? And, you know, how these things go about? How am I going to study the Bible? How should I pray? How should I spend time with my family? How should things go in the church? And some people just don't like that. It doesn't work for them. There's nothing to commit to. There's no system there for them to commit in that way. The other thing that shows up there is that those who are not committed and are not faithful, it's oftentimes because, well, their friends aren't there. Their family's not there. Friends and family are a huge deal, and it's there to be an encouragement to one another that we be faithful to Christ and to His church and to His body. So I think about this as far as discipline. I think about those that are usually known for that. Sometimes, a lot of times I think about the athlete. And a lot of the passages, and I made reference to this last week, the scriptures we want to look at this morning is tied into competition. And the word that's used here in Jude chapter 3 we're about to read uses the word contending earnestly for the faith. And the word there for contending, it could be used for fighting, but most of the time it is used for an athletic event, whether wrestling or some kind of struggle or competition. And so we're going to look at what is being taught right here. But when we think about discipline, often we think about athletes. And you can think about how they, and many times they'll be disciplined in many things, and sometimes in other things, they're not. And why is that? And I guess they don't see the purpose in it, or there's not a process or a system there to help them in it. So we want to think about that and think about ourselves personally. What can we do? So over in Jude, let's take a look here in Jude 3 through 4. That's going to be our exposition. We're going to take some notes from Jude verses 3 and 4. So Jude says this, and again, this is Jesus' brother. This is the brother of James, as he says at the very beginning of this chapter. And then look at verse 3. He says, beloved. He's talking to the church, those who are called and sanctified. He says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, undevoted men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that stand out to me in this passage. What's Jude doing here? He's calling and he's encouraging. He says, the whole reason I want to write to you is because he feels a necessity to do it. He says, I'm diligent in this. And I want to encourage you as the called, the sanctified of God to do this, to contend for the faith, to compete, to be in it, to be a part of the struggle and the fight. And so those are his words there, to contend for the faith. And he says how to do it earnestly. And then notice how he describes the faith here. We talk about the faith, he's talking about the whole system of the gospel and what we believe. He says, I want you to contend for it. I want you to fight for it. I don't want you to be laid back. I want you to be diligent in it. I don't want you to be devoted to it and committed. And so as we hear this instruction, he says that he wants to do it as an encouragement. He's urging them. Do this. And then as he describes the faith, what's he say there about it? It's been once for all delivered. When was that? There in the first century. Once for all delivered to who? To the saints, he says. If you go down further in Jude and you look in verse 17, Jude reminds them, and he says, you remember what's been written, what's been said before by the apostles? Listen to them. Follow their instruction. There's a parallel passage over from Jude in 2 Peter in chapter 2. And Peter does the same thing. He says, follow the commandments of God and follow the instructions of the prophets. Listen to the apostles. Listen to what has been taught and what's been presented, what has been delivered once for all. And the emphasis there on once for all is this. Once the faith has been once for all delivered, who can change it? Who can alter it? But then he's warning them about these men. And the way he describes them is this. He says it's been written about them in times past. These people are condemned. These people are already condemned by God, judged by God is what it means. And they creep in. They come secretly in among Christians. They cause divisions. They tell lies. And you hear that today, and you can see it on the social media, and you can see it on TV. Individuals coming along, claiming to be Christians, false preachers, false teachers, lying, telling things that are not true, distorting the faith. And it says how they did that. It says these condemned people, they had no devotion to God. When it says ungodly in Greek, it literally means they have no devotion to Him. They're not committed. And then going along with our Bible class, we're talking about the grace of God and how some people twist the grace of God. It says here in Jude, as we read about what they do, they take God's grace and they turn it into a sexual perversion. And they also do this. They also deny Jesus Christ as the only ruler, God, and Lord. And Jude's concerned about this. And he's urging these Christians not to go away. to be those who contend, who are disciplined, who are diligent. We see this phrase contend throughout the scriptures. I want to share a few of those with you right now. But what we're seeing here, and the overall theme is that the faith of the first century Christians, it's been once for all delivered, and we as saints are to be contending for it, fighting for it. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Luke 13 and 24, he uses the same word for contend, and here it's translated in most translations as strive. He says this, strive to enter through the narrow gate, fight for it. Struggle for it, contend for it, be diligent for it, be devoted to it. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say, will seek to enter and not be able. They don't have the power to, they don't have the ability to. And he says here, but you have the commandment of Christ. And he gives instruction to them, you strive for it. And that tells us about the faith. That is something that should produce work in us. It should produce a new life in us, a new discipline in the way that we behave and the things that we do. And 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in chapter 6, verse 12, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, I know why the translators always put fight the good fight of faith, because there's a lot of alliteration right there. It's easy to remember that, easy to quote that, fight the good fight of faith. But that word there for fight is that same word for contend. The same word that Jesus used that's translated strive. And here it's fight the good fight of faith. And it's the idea that you'll see in 1 Corinthians 9 that of boxing. And I don't know if Paul or Timothy had a background in that, but they do talk a lot about running the race and about boxing. Or this could be, the word could be used in reference to wrestling. And he says, fight the good fight of faith. Why? For the prize, he says, lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we have this theme here from Jude, contend for the faith. Christ tells us, strive to enter through the narrow door. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. You be a part of the struggle. You contend. Paul says again, at the end of his life, in his very last writing, he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 8, you know this passage, 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I've been in contention, I have been in the arena, I have fought and I have struggled, I've done what I need to do. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He's putting those games and those athletic events together, and he looks at his life that way, and he says, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. That's the idea that Jude says of contending to keep the faith, to contend for the faith. I have kept the faith. And he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. There's a reward at the end in this struggle and what our life is about, that we have a life that is disciplined, that we compete. And he says, that crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. As Christians, I see this. We're guardians. We've been entrusted with securing priceless truth. And you might think about a security guard or someone who secures data or whatever level you might think of this, but as someone who is guarding something that is precious. And in our situation, we're guarding truth that is maintained and contained in ancient manuscripts. Our adversaries, our enemies want to corrupt that. They want to change the original. And that's what Jude addresses. He says these individuals are going to come into the church. They're going to try to change the faith. And yet we must maintain the original, keep it pure. We must fight the faith. As I think about this new year, I want to make sure that we have a mentality that as a Christian, that Christianity is not just one or two, three things I do during the week, but it's my whole life, that I'm diligent, that I'm committed to what I believe and what the Bible tells me and what Christ has said. And in this, we fight for the faith, and we are guardians of the gospel. And we are safeguarding God's message. We are to uphold the truth, the scriptures say. That's the purpose of the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And as part of our reading this morning, we read from 1 Corinthians. I want to look at that again. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 9. And this is what Richard read for us, beginning of our announcements. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and following. Here Paul reflects upon his own life, his own diligence, his own discipline, how he maintains his Christian life. He says this, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." He's disciplined in every part of who he is to be able to accomplish the goal. He works at it. He strives at it. He says, Now they do it to obtain a perishable prize, but we for an imperishable crown. You see that same theme that we've been reading about. He says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty." He knows where he's going. He knows his focus. He knows the goal. And he says, "Thus I fight." Guess what word that is again? I contend. I strive. It's the same one from Jude 3. "Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." So you get the picture there of someone boxing, training. He says, "But I'm in it. I'm not just merely swinging my arms in the air, but I've disciplined myself to be a part of the competition." Listen to what he says. Paul says this in verse 27. "But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." So this morning I urge you, listen to the words of Jude. Listen to these scriptures to contend for the faith. Consider yourself. Look at your life as an athlete who trains rigorously for competition. That's the picture we get here. Striving for victory, disciplined in effort and dedication. We see the New Testament writers instructing us to do the same, to contend earnestly, to be disciplined, to be dedicated, to defend the gospel, to uphold it. The game before us is really clear. It is to preserve the true, authentic faith that was once for all delivered. And we as Christians need to stand up and be able to fight for the truth, to be able to speak and say, "I know what the Bible says, and nobody is going to take me away from it." I want us to go back to Jude for the last part of our study. Go back with me to Jude. You have your Bible. Excuse me. Why did Jude say contend and fight for the faith? He demonstrates the evil that's going on here. He says, "I want you to fight for the faith because these wicked people that have come in, they are coming to God's judgment." And he gives a list here of those who have come to God's judgment that everybody knows about. And he says in verse 5, "I want to remind you, and though you once knew this, the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." So those who rebelled against God in the wilderness, God brought destruction upon them. And he says this, "Remember this, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their abode." What's he done with them? He has reserved them in everlasting chains of darkness. And then he reminds them in verse 7 of Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened to them. These cities were filled with sin, and they're giving themselves over to sexual immorality. They went after strange flesh. And he says, this is all an example to show again God's judgment and his justice. And why you need to be contending for the faith, because destruction is coming upon them, and God will bring the vengeance of eternal fire upon them. Jude, verse 7. And then listen to verse 8. "Likewise, also these dreamers, these ones who come among you who claim to have dreams." Isaiah talked about these false prophets who claim to have dreams, have visions, who deceive people. He says they defile the flesh. They defile the flesh. They engage in this immorality. They reject authority and they speak evil of dignitaries. These are wicked people who come in among the church. And it goes on here in the book of Jude, and Jude tells us about these individuals, what they look like and what they do, so that we're aware. Just as Jesus warned us about wolves coming in sheep's clothing, Jude is echoing the words of his brother, telling us the same thing. In Jude 16, we read about this. He talks about them. He says they are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own desires. Just like we talked about in Bible class. Instead of walking according to Christ and according to God's grace, they live their life by whatever they want. By their goals, by their initiatives, whatever they want. They follow those coveting and desires. It says their mouth has great swelling words. They are flattering people to gain advantage. I don't know about you. I don't like people who just flatter me to manipulate me, to sell me something. I don't want to hear it. And here, Jude says, be aware of them, what they do. They complain, they're grumbling, they speak these words of flattery. They're all about what they want, their desires, their lust, their coveting. Verse 17, he says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the contrast there. Don't listen to their words. Listen to the apostles. Listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to what has been given to you. Go back to those teachings and never compromise them. Look at verse 18. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last day. That's the apostles. And you can read about this over in 2 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3. There will be mockers in the last day, in the last time, who would walk according to their own. And then this interesting statement here. Ungodly lust is what my translation says. In Greek, it literally means they're coveting and they're not devoted. They have this undevotion to God, and out of it they follow whatever desires they want. He says, these are sensual people who cause division and not having the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. This is who Jude is warning us about. Lastly, as we've thought, and I've made the case this morning using the words from Jude and what he's taught and the other apostles have taught to contend for the faith, to fight, to be disciplined. How do you do that? What's the end result here? If I'm contending for the faith, I'm going by the words of the apostles, what more can I do? Well, Jude answers that. Listen to what he says here in verses 20 to 23. Jude says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying by the Holy Spirit. So that's what you do. You build one another up. You pray by the Holy Spirit. You keep yourselves in the love of God. You look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then he says, it goes on. He has another layer to it. You're contending. You're in the game. You're fighting. You're competing. You're disciplined. You're going to do this. Verse 22. And he says, and have compassion, have mercy, making a distinction. In other words, have compassion upon those who need to be saved. He says, verse 23, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So what Jude is saying is, again, you contend for the faith. You live by it. You live by the love of God. You live with mercy and compassion. You pray by the Holy Spirit. You're devoted to the apostles' words. And you look out for others. You want to pull them from the fire. You want to rescue them. And that's what it means to contend as Christians. That's what we need to be committed to. I encourage you this morning to get your strength from God, to trust in Him. He will help you to contend for the faith. And I think it very fitting to finish with the very words of that glorify God here at the end of the book of Jude. Jude says, now to Him, to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This morning, if you haven't been contending for the faith, if you haven't been disciplined, I encourage you, reconsider. Listen to the words of Jude. Listen to the words of Christ. Listen to the apostles. Change your life. Let's make some changes. Let's do what the Scriptures teach us here. Let's stand for the truth, for the faith that was once for all delivered. You need to obey the gospel this morning to be buried with Christ in baptism, having died to your old self. You can walk in the newness of life. We encourage you to come right now. Let's stand and sing together.